This morning we're concluding our series on discipleship, not because we've exhausted the series. I mean, anything that I ever speak on, I only speak on for 3 or 4 weeks and then we move on. By no means has it been exhausted, but I'm ready to move on, and but we could talk about discipleship literally for years and all the various components and facets of discipleship. What I want to do is we talk about discipleship this morning. I want to go a little deeper on this principle of serving. As I have been in this series, I have truly sensed the Lord opening my understanding regarding how to arrive and fulfill the major plan that God has for every one of his children. Now, that's a big statement. I believe God has a plan for every one of his children. Every person in this room that has opened their heart to Jesus and has become a son or a daughter of God, God's got a plan for your life. And in this plan, this major component of where God brings us to has to do with being a servant. Being a servant of his, serving him. Spending our time on this earth doing what he wants us to do. You know, there's two ways to live life. Well, there's probably more than that, but just let me give you two. Serving yourself and what you want, which, by the way, before we knew Jesus, that's how we lived life. We just did whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted, however we wanted, to whatever degree people would let us, right? If they wouldn't let us, then obviously we were restrained. But other than that, without the intervention of people or something restraining us, we did whatever we wanted. And then we come to know the Lord. And when we come to know the Lord, then we have to make a decision. Let's see, do I want what I want? Yeah. Or do I want what he wants? And then we enter into this conflict, this battle of whose servant am I going to be? Am I going to be my servant of my own self, or am I going to be a servant of the Most High God? Some people maybe in this room today are still wrestling with that issue. Because sometimes we get this idea that if we serve what we want, then we get what we want, and what we want is going to be better than what God wants for us. And actually, that's always going to be an error. Do you know that God's got the very best for all of our lives? I've said many times over the years, if you could write out a plan for your life, if you could write out this awesome, incredible life, you couldn't come up with a better plan than what God has for you. And you might say, well, then why aren't I experiencing it? Well, we don't experience it because of oftentimes a lack of yieldedness and surrender on our own life, the lack of entering into what he has for us, and then we pull back and we think, well, I guess I'll take over the reins of my life for a little longer then. Well, everyone that you see in Scripture, or at least almost everyone that you see in Scripture, that is considered an individual, a character of greatness in their life, you see in every one of these an association that is given to us in the Word of God with them being referred to as a servant. Now, I realize there may be a few somewhere, but I'm going to tell you, the most of the people in the Scripture that you see, they're going to be referred to as servants of God. So let me give you a few examples this morning. I won't tarry on these, but I'll just give you a few examples. One of the ones that we see is Abraham. Abraham, the man who is called the father of the faith. The father of us all. He was the one who was given the promise by God, the beginning of the Jewish nation, and the beginning of people of faith. Abraham, Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, says, and the Lord appeared to him that same night, that's to Abraham, said, to Isaac. The Lord appears to Isaac and says, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. Abraham's referred to by God as his servant. Another one we find in the Scripture is Moses. Moses chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Then he said, that's God speaking, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream, but not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I will speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The next one we could look at would be David. Psalm chapter 89, verse 20. God says, I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. And next one we could consider would be Elijah. From 2 Kings chapter 10:10. Know now that nothing shall fall to the earth of the word of the Lord, which the Lord spoke concerning the house of Ahab, for the Lord has done what he has spoke by his servant Elijah. And then who could leave out the Apostle Paul? Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul refers to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. And then the final one, or next to the final one, would be John, the Apostle John, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants, by the way, that's us, his servants, those things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. And perhaps the most important person in the scripture that's referred to as a servant of God is Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. To you first, God, having raised his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning every one of you away from your iniquities. We have this negative connotation of servant in our world today. We think of this servant kind of mentality as somebody who is less than. And it's not somebody who is less than, it's somebody who's more like God than others is what a servant is. A servant of God is somebody who takes on themselves the responsibility to do what God needs to be done on the earth. To be a servant of God, to serve him, to make choices in life that are all about choices that cause God to be glorified, that cause God to be revealed. Being servants of his, as opposed to serving our own selves. I get excited when I see a principle in Scripture, in God's Word, that is what I think a key to the kingdom, which brings about God's purpose and life transformation for us. And I think that this is one of those things. I think that this is a key to the kingdom, that life transformation happens as we move beyond what I referred to as I talked in previous weeks, as I talked about, you remember that we all come into the kingdom the same way through faith in Jesus Christ. We all start off as believers. There was a time and a moment in every one of our life, which is what you would call the first day in Jesus. And you were a believer that first day. The Spirit of God, by the way, is the one who drew you to have faith in Jesus. And it is the Spirit of God that on that first day of your spiritual rebirth caused you to be made alive in Christ. On that spiritual birthday, when you believed in Jesus, God baptized you into the body of Christ, and you became seated in heavenly places in Christ. You became a child of God, and you had eternity come inside of you, eternal life by the Spirit of God. Wonderful things happen when we become believers. And by the way, if you're not a believer yet, you've never come to faith in Christ, and you want to do so at the end of the service today, you can begin the first step just by raising your hand as we pray later. But coming to faith in Christ is awesome and incredible. But as I began this series on discipleship, I spoke on how merely becoming a believer doesn't fulfill what God wants. That we move on into what the Bible refers to as becoming disciples of Jesus. People that are disciples of Jesus, they deny themselves to walk with Jesus. You can't be a disciple if you don't deny yourself and walk with Jesus. You can't be a disciple of Jesus if you don't follow Jesus. You can't be a disciple of the Lord Jesus if you're not paying attention to his word and living in obedience to what he says in his word. Now, disciples are literally people who have disciplined their life. And in disciplining their life, it's all about Jesus. That's what a disciple is. But then this third part that has to do with life transformation is to become a servant. Discipled, equipped by the Lord for the purpose of being servants of God. You see, we've got a purpose in this world, and the purpose is to make life manifest, to cause the things of God revealed in this world around us by letting Jesus live his life through us as we are servants of God doing his will. So we have a wonderful illustration, I think, of servanthood and touching people's lives. It's found in Matthew chapter 15, verses 32 through 36. It says these words. It says, "Now Jesus called his disciples to himself, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude because they've now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I don't want to send them away hungry, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples said, well, where can we get enough bread in the wilderness to feed such a multitude? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke them, and gave to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude." From this passage of Scripture, we see, first and foremost, that Jesus calls his disciples to himself. You know, when people become disciples of Jesus, I think that they begin hearing from the Lord, or should begin hearing from the Lord in a new way. The Lord knows when we've got our focus on him. The Lord knows when we're saying, I want to be your disciple and follow you. The Lord knows when we're saying, okay, thank you. Thank you for causing me to be born again. Thank you that I have faith and I believe in you as the Savior of my soul, and I'm going to go to heaven. But now I want to be a disciple, which means I want to learn from you. I want to be close to you. I want to hear your voice. I want to be a person that my life becomes to look like you. And so what Jesus does is he calls his disciples to himself. I believe that this is a scenario that repeats itself over and over and over again in our lives, that people that are his disciples, he calls to himself. And in this passage of Scripture, he then begins to talk with them. People that disciple their lives to Jesus, I believe Jesus speaks to them in ways where he tells them what's on his heart and on his mind. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is saying, I've got the multitude around me and I care about them. When you're a disciple of Jesus, Jesus begins to tell you what he cares about. And you begin to pick up on the heart of God. You begin to be sensitive to what God is doing and what God is saying in the world around us. So he tells them he has compassion on them. And then he asks them, he invites them into the conversation. He says, well, how many fish and how many loaves do you have? And so he invites them into the conversation. Now, I think Jesus likes to have conversation with us. If you've not had a conversation with the Lord in a while, then let me tell you, you're just missing out. I think the Lord wants to have a conversation with you. And I think in conversation, sometimes the Lord asks questions. You ever had God ask you a question? You ever had God ask you an intimidated question? Where he's putting his finger on something in your life saying, why did you do that? Yeah, sometimes God asks questions. Well, Jesus, in this particular illustration, he asks his disciples a question. And then, by the way, it's kind of interesting, he gives them the answer when they can't quite figure out what to do next, and they don't know how they're going to feed a multitude like this. And then the great thing about Jesus is he provides what is needed, and then he lets them participate in the answer. That's called serving. So the disciples took the bread, took the fish, and began to serve the multitude. That's the serving part. Disciples serve. Jesus had been training these individuals. Jesus had drawn them to himself. He had been teaching them. And he said, now it's time for you to bring application to your life. And the application is to serve. I can just imagine when they got done that day, because, you know, it says 4,000 men besides women and children. They probably, I smell like fish and I smell like bread. You know, usually whatever we're serving and how we're serving, it impacts our life. It taints our life. Well, maybe fish and bread aren't your thing. You know, sometimes people, they look at fish and bread and they think, well, that's not real serving. Well, it is. It's what the Lord wanted them to do. It's what Jesus had told them to do. Serving is doing what Jesus tells you to do. That's what he told them to do, and that's what they did. Oh, but maybe fish and bread aren't your thing. How about another one from Matthew chapter 10, verse 1? It says, and when he had called his disciples, he gave them power. Okay, now we like this stuff, don't we? He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the kind of servant I want to be, God. Give me the power. The Lord says, well, I'll give you the fish and the bread first, and then I'll give you the power later. You know, the scripture says, he that's faithful in a little will also be faithful in much. Sometimes the beginning of our service in the things of God, they're not the things that maybe we think are the incredible and awesome and wonderful things. Sometimes they're just the real simple things. The way that through the heart of God we care about people that are hurting. Remember Jesus, when he fed the multitude, it's because he had compassion on them. Didn't want to send them away hungry. So we begin serving people through compassion. We begin looking at where people are hurting, and we begin bringing to them answers that are from God. Well, anyway, going back to Matthew 10, verse 1. So, you know, he gives them power, and they're able to do all these things. And he gives them the power, not so that they can walk around going, I got the power. He gives them the power to do something with it. That's the serving part. Do you know there are some people that walk around through life, they're wanting to get and get and get from God, but they're not wanting to give out or give out or give out for God. They want titles, they want accolades, but they don't want to get down in the trench and do something that's going to make a difference in somebody else's life. They don't want to be a servant. They just want the diplomas. They just want to be called of men, like Jesus said, they want to be called of men, rabbi, rabbi. They want the uppermost seats at the feasts. They want the praise in the marketplace. But we're not called to that. We're called to disciples. We're called to servanthood in this thing called discipleship. Discipleship without serving has no real purpose or value to it. If we simply stop at becoming disciples and then we don't learn how to serve out of everything that the Lord has been teaching us and pouring into our lives, our discipleship really doesn't have any purpose or value until we start serving. Jesus uses a story found in Matthew chapter 25, goes verse 14 through 30, and I'm going to kind of break it apart as we go through it rather than reading it all at once and then going back. So beginning with Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, it says, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. Now, anybody that knows this story, you know that it's really a story Jesus is talking about himself. Jesus knows that he's going to be leaving the world. Jesus knows that he's going to be leaving, and he's going to be leaving his goods in the hands of his people, his church. So when we see this story of a man going into a far country, it is Jesus leaving stuff in the stewardship of those that he calls his servants. I would even go as far as to say this, that every single child of God has been called by God to be a servant of God. Verse 15 says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each man according to his own ability. Do you know that Jesus sees what's going on inside of us and he says you're able? Jesus says you have ability. Jesus says you're capable. And he sees that. He sees what he's placed inside all of us in order to be his servants. And then when he gives us what he gives according to our ability. By the way, the Lord hasn't asked me to be a brain surgeon. But if you've got headaches or something, come on up after here afterwards. I've got a rusty knife and a paper clip, and I'll fix you right up. and then I'll spend the rest of my life in jail because I don't have the ability. Don't worry about God getting you in over your head. You're not in over your head if it's from God. But God does give to every one of his servants according to their ability. Verse 16 says, he that had received 5 talents, he went and he traded with them and he made 5 other talents. You see, he had the ability to do that. And he went and did what he was supposed to do. That's what servants do. And likewise, verse 2 or 17 says that likewise he would receive 2, gain 2 more. That was within his ability. He did what was in his ability. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He had the ability to deal with the 1, but he didn't. He hides his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants comes and settles accounts with them. Let me tell you something that you probably already know, but let me say it anyway, very succinctly, very clearly. How do you like being responsible for things? And, well, that's not the question, but I have a good friend who said, don't tell me anymore. The more you tell me, the more I feel responsible for. And so for those of you who don't want to be responsible in life, just plug up your ears right now. No, I'm kidding, because you're responsible regardless. Do you know one of these days every one of us is going to be called before God, and God is going to settle accounts? It's just a reality. We have been called by God to be his beloved, to be his church, to be his family, to be his children, to be his wife, to be the bride of Christ, and yet there is also a calling where the Lord on every one of our lives says, you're my servants and you're going to give account of your life in what you did. And I gave you because I knew what you could do. And one of these days, the Lord is going to settle accounts with every single person. So I'll just tell you ahead of time, that day is coming where we will be settling accounts, where the Lord will settle accounts. Verse 20 says, so he that had received 5 talents comes, he brings 5 other talents, he said, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. I've gained 5 talents more beside them. And I love this. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. We don't know how many that is. But by being faithful to a few things, the Lord makes us ruler over many things. Doesn't just make us a servant to steward those things, but he makes us ruler over those things. Get that, because that's going to impact eternity. What we do in eternity is going to have something to do tied in with the way that we lived our life in faithful service to God here. And then when we deal accounts with God, God's going to make ruler over. Well, anyway, this is the part that I really love. He says, enter into the joy of your Lord. You know, the Bible tells us that one of these days, everlasting joy is going to be on our heads. Everlasting joy. I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait for joy that just comes and just never leaves. Joy. The Bible talks about joy that's unspeakable and full of the glory of God. The Bible talks about joy as one of the fruits of the Spirit. Incredible, awesome, wonderful joy. And that's exactly what his Lord invited this man into. Because you've been faithful, enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Here again, we don't know how many. But faithfulness in stewardship, faithfulness in being a servant of God, enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. Oh my goodness, what is wrong with this servant? By the way, what is wrong with anybody that sees God in a light that God isn't? God is not hard. God is gracious and merciful and compassionate and kind and truthful and just and holy. He is the God to be worshipped and the God to be served. Not somebody that we look at and go, oh God, you're hard. Well, anyway, this particular man, he had the ability, he had one talent ability, he could have done something with it, but he didn't do anything with it. What he did was he said, "Lord, I knew you were a hard man. You reap where you did not sow, you gathered where you've not scattered, and I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours." But his Lord answered and said, "You wicked and lazy servant." See, the man was making all kinds of excuses. "Oh, God, well, you see, God, the problem wasn't me, the problem was you. The problem isn't me. You're hard, and I'm afraid." And the man in this story said, "No, your problem is you're a wicked and a lazy servant." It's amazing how sometimes the truth needs to be told correctly. You're a wicked and lazy servant. You knew what was required of you. You knew that I reaped where I have not sown or gathered where I have not scattered. And then he goes on in verse 27, "You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers." By the way, that requires so little effort. That man could have done that so easily. And actually, I think it would have been easier for him to have deposited the money with the bankers rather than going out and getting a shovel. Anybody like digging holes in dirt? Especially in rocky dirt like they have over in Israel? I mean, how long does it take to dig a hole in Israel when you could have just taken the money to the bankers? Well, why didn't you at least take my money to the bankers? I could have received my own with interest. Verse 28 says, "Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Now, this guy's got 10 talents, but he's also going to rule over many things. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Is serving important? I'm going to say yes. Is serving on the mind and the heart of God? Absolutely. Is almost every great man in the Scripture, I didn't look at every person, but is almost every great man in the Scripture referred to, including Jesus, as a servant of God? Yes. What is our responsibility in life? Be servants of God. Listen to his voice, walk with him on a daily basis. Let our lives be under his discipline, discipling, and then hearing what God is saying as we go through this world. And serving, being a servant to those around us, showing love and compassion and mercy. As I said before, every day in our lives we're serving. The question is, who are we serving? Are we serving our own agenda, our own time, our own desires, or are we serving the Lord? Are our lives centered around us, or are they centered around him? What incredible words to hear. "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Those words can only be spoken to people who will serve the Lord. I want those words to be spoken about me. I would ask, how about you? Would you bow your heads, please? We have to backtrack this thing. Servanthood is, I think, where Jesus brings us to. If you back up one notch, we need to become disciples first so that the life that we're living as being a servant is modeling Jesus, and we need to learn how to model Jesus by becoming disciples of Jesus, but it all begins with believing. And it all begins with an initial step of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the one who died on the cross to forgive us of our sin. And then to let him be the Savior. Let him be the one that rescues our life. And if you're here today and you've never done that before, by the raising of your hand, this could be the beginning of process for you, the first step. I'm not saying this saves you. Raising your hand doesn't save you. But having faith in Jesus does. And raising your hand here in this room today is a way for you to identify, I'm ready to have faith in Jesus and follow Jesus. And you just want to raise your hand here in this room today, and I'm going to pray for you before we leave. Hands in this room, people who are asking Jesus to be their Savior. Take first steps. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you've raised your hand here in this room today, I encourage you to call into the church office this week. Ask to talk to me or to one of the other pastors. We want to help you as you begin your walk with the Lord. With heads still bowed, I don't know exactly how to present it to you, but some of you in this room today, you just need to raise your hand before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm signing up for servanthood today. I've signed up to believe in you. I've signed up to be a disciple. But Jesus, I'm signing up to be a servant of yours and to follow you as a servant, to be a servant of the Most High God throughout the remainder of my life. And you just want to raise your hand before the Lord today and say, that's me, Lord. So hands in this room, all those before I pray today, you're just saying, yeah, that's me. Before you, Jesus, I'm signing up to be a servant, to be your servant, and to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Father, that your love for us is incredible. And when you call us to yourself, Lord, you don't call us halfway. You call us all the way. You call us, Lord, into the very life that you lived. You call us, Lord Jesus, to be a servant just like you were when you came and did the Father's will on this earth. And Jesus, those that have raised their hands today, I pray. I pray, Lord, for blessing to come upon their life, anointing to come upon their life, whatever they need, Lord, as they're taking the next wonderful steps, Lord, to say, I'm signing up to be a servant of God for the remainder of my life. The Lord, take us. Take us and use us, Lord, according to your will. Let your purposes, let your design, let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome and wonderful day today.